already know what I'm thinking about, right? I mean, maybe our idolatry is not primitive in the sense that we build statues and poles and call them Baal, master, and bow down and worship them, but we do the same thing, don't we? We do the same thing. Let me just show you two places real quickly in the New Testament where we learn a lot about how this is relevant to you and to me today. The first one is in the book of James, chapter 4. Listen to these verses, verses 3 through 5. God says through James to these people, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." And then he says this, "You adulterous people." That sounds like Hosea, doesn't it? James is saying, God through James is saying to these who profess to be Christians, "You are adulterous people." Now, why would he say that? Well, he continues, "Do you not know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, 'He,'" meaning God, "'yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us.'" Loving the world, being a friend of the world, James says, is adultery. It's spiritual adultery. Because when we love the world, what are we doing? We are making an idol of the things of this world. We're making idols out of the things that this world offers. We're looking to them for what we should only look to God for. Friendship with the world. In other words, worldliness is unfaithfulness. Worldliness is unfaithfulness. It is adultery because it is idolatry. That's what James is saying, and that's how Hosea is relevant to every single one of us this morning. But listen, listen to one other verse. This one from Paul in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Here he specifically refers to idolatry. And listen to what he connects it to. Colossians 3, 5. "Put to death, therefore," he says, "what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." That's what Paul says in the New Testament. So, worldliness is unfaithfulness, and so is covetousness. Covetousness is unfaithfulness. Covetousness is adultery because it is idolatry. To use the same imagery that we have in the book of Hosea, we are being unfaithful. We're being unfaithful to God when we covet what we don't have. Because what we're doing really is we're placing such value on things that we covet that they have become gods to us. And listen, idols aren't necessarily inherently bad in and of themselves. The most subtle kind of idolatry today, particularly, is when a good becomes a god. And that can happen so subtly. Family, education, sports, country. Good things can become idols. And that's what we have to be incredibly careful of as those who want to be faithful to Jesus Christ. But the good news is, even in the midst of our sin and our tendency toward idolatry, God's love is steadfast. He loves us. He will always love us as His children. Billy Graham's grandson rebelled against his parents and against their faith and did so overtly, openly. after he turned around, he said this: "My parents were gracious and loving before my rebellion, and they were gracious and loving after and in my rebellion." And then he made this statement that I think is really a good statement. Children will run from law and they'll run from grace. The ones who run from law never come back. But the ones who run from grace always come back. Grace draws its own home. I think that's true. And I think that's what we see in Hosea. That's the picture of love and grace, God's love and God's grace that draws his children back when we stray, when we sin. Because once we have tasted and once we have seen that the Lord is good, once we know of his love demonstrated most clearly in the cross of Christ, once that becomes real to us, we may stray away, but we'll never stay away for long because grace draws its own back home. And that leads me to the third thing I want to say this morning about God's love. The love of God is a suffering love, a steadfast love, and then number three, a sanctifying love. It's a sanctifying love. Love purifies. Love purifies. There's something purifying about love and about being loved unconditionally, being loved steadfastly. There's something purifying about that, and we see that here. Grace draws its own back home. Now, as I said earlier, grace and love will include discipline at times, but there must always be grace. You see, when there's discipline without love, that's law. But when there's discipline and love, when there's rules and relationship, then that's grace, and that's what brings people and draws people to and back to God. You see, the evidence, I'm convinced of this in light of all of Scripture, the evidence that someone has genuinely received and believed God's love for them in Christ is that it will cause us to regularly repent and progressively grow in purity and in holiness. That's the evidence of really believing and really receiving the love of God. There's a word that's repeated 15 times in the book of Hosea. It's the word return. 15 times, return, return. That's God's call to his people. That's Hosea's call, God speaking through him to the people of Israel who have been unfaithful to him. Return, return. As a matter of fact, the last chapter, chapter 14, begins like this. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Return. Several years ago, a 16-year-old girl who lived in Florida was dropped off at school by her mother. And when she got out of the car, she said to her mom, "I'll see you tonight." But her mother didn't see her again for 2.5 years. The girl disappeared. The girl's parents exhausted their bank account, borrowed money from friends, and took off from their jobs to instigate a nationwide search for their daughter. Finally, someone in Georgia saw a picture of this girl and called her parents, and they drove there to Georgia and found her. Here's her story. Here's what she said. "I was just tired of school, and I met some friendly strangers, and they took me to the bus stop, and I had enough money to get to Georgia. And every mile down the road, I grew more fearful of coming back and facing you," she said to her parents. "And every mile further away, the easier it was to go another mile." And then she said this to her parents: "You remember all those telephone calls that hung up before you answered? That was me." And then later, Her parents saw hundreds of letters that she had written them, but never mailed. What she didn't know was that while she was running from them, they were running toward her in love. And that's the God that we see in the book of Hosea. He is running for us, even as we are running from him. Listen, if you return to God, you will discover he was running towards you in love all along. And maybe there are those here this morning who need to do that, who need to return. You need to return to God. Listen, return. Return. Not because of the grief you feel from the discipline of God, but because of the grief you cause to the heart of God because of your sin. Let's bow. Father, I pray that as we've thought about this prophet and this message and this marriage in the book of Hosea, I pray that you would work in the hearts of those who are here. I pray for those who maybe have never really turned to you. I pray that they would see and believe that you demonstrated your love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Help people today to believe that who've never really believed that. Make that real to people here today for whom that has never really been a reality, that Christ died for their sins and that it was a demonstration, the ultimate demonstration of love. Hosea's buying back his wife was a demonstration of love. But the price that you paid for us because of your love, that is the ultimate demonstration of love. And God, I pray today that people would believe and turn from their sin and trust in Jesus. And I pray for those who have done that but who have strayed, maybe becoming a friend of the world. Maybe their minds and their hearts are constantly thinking about what they would like to have more, better, in terms of material things and in terms of recognition and such things. Father, would you help us to return to you? Would you enable those today who need to return to you to return? And Father, as we come to this time now of worship through giving, we return to you a part of what you've given to us as an act of worship, as a way to show that you are our greatest value, that we value you above everything and anything. And Father, help us to realize this morning that one of the best ways to break the chains of covetousness and worldliness is to be generous and to give. Because you say where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So help us to give to that which pleases you, to that which would advance your glory in the world. And Father, I pray for those who are here who maybe are thinking about baptism, thinking about that next step or what it would involve, and being baptized as a witness to their faith, or maybe want to talk to someone about that. Would you cause people today to communicate with their communication card that that's something they want to talk to someone about? And through conversations, I pray that there might come to be genuine faith and assurance of salvation and that kind of public testimony of faith through baptism for many here who've not yet believed or who've not yet taken that next step. Lord, we love you. Thank you that, as we heard read earlier in 1 Peter, that we were not a people. And now, through faith in Jesus, we've become your people, the people of God. And we had not received mercy, but now we receive mercy through Jesus Christ. We think of those two children. That's what Peter had in his mind as he wrote that verse. The second child named No Mercy. The third child named Not My People. God, that was your judgment on your people. And now, those of us who are not Jews by birth, can be the children of Abraham by faith. We can become your people and a people together under you, and we can be the recipients of your grace and mercy through Jesus. And so I pray that you would draw people to that grace today and draw people back by that grace today, by that love. In Jesus' name, amen.